It's Monday, June 8th, and you're listening to the Uprise Daily. This is a grassroots effort from activists around the country to compile information about protests that have been happening in the wake of the police murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Our work is by no means comprehensive, and it's all done on a volunteer basis. That said, here's what happened yesterday, June 7th. In Little Rock, Arkansas, hundreds gathered for a demonstration and a town hall meeting. In Bakersfield, California, Robert Fords, a man participating in a protest, was hit by a car on Wednesday, June 3rd. He passed away on Saturday, June 6th. This is the second incident of vehicular violence in Bakersfield after a 15-year-old girl participating in a march was hit by a car on Friday, May 29th. In Los Angeles, California, upwards of 1,000 people marched through Hollywood in the largest of this wave of demonstrations in the city. In Santa Barbara, California, 1,000 to 2,000 people joined a march led by local high school students. In Washington, D.C., Sunday marked the 10th consecutive day of protests, with half a dozen marches and rallies across the city. The 1.7-mile fence installed to block access to the White House and Lafayette Park is covered in movement signs and art. Active duty troops and most National Guard troops have been ordered to leave, though members of the D.C. National Guard remain on duty. Protests also took place in various D.C. suburbs, including Tacoma Park, Germantown, Silver Spring, and Olney, Maryland. In St. Petersburg, Florida, about 400 joined a march through the historically black south side of the city, followed by a smaller nighttime march through the wealthy, white, old northeast neighborhood in what is now the second week of consecutive protests. Police presence has been essentially non-existent since violent force was used for several nights last week. In Atlanta, Georgia, with canceled curfew, thousands of demonstrators joined marches across Atlanta for the 10th day in a row. A large group again gathered in front of the Capitol calling for the removal of a statue of former Governor John Brown Gordon, a Confederate officer generally believed to be the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Hundreds of protesters stopped traffic on the MLK overpass off of I-75. Georgia State Patrol later blocked the on-ramp of the downtown connector. No arrests were reported. In Indianapolis, on Thursday, a special prosecutor was assigned for the Drayshon Sean Reed case, a black man who was shot to death by police earlier in May. And on Friday, the mayor announced updates to the police use of force guidelines. Saturday saw the 9th consecutive day of protests and the dropping of a citywide curfew, and on Sunday, hundreds joined a vehicle caravan that passed the mayor's house, honking, beating drums, and shouting. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, for the 10th day, demonstrators gathered downtown. Between 50 and 100 people attended. In Louisville, Kentucky, hundreds joined a prayer walk and vigil and rallies to mark the 11th consecutive day of protests since the start of the uprising. In Lexington, Kentucky, crowds gathered to protest against police brutality for this 10th straight night. In Baltimore, Maryland, on the 5th anniversary of the non-fatal police shooting of Keith Davis Jr., a 40-car caravan traveled through the city, stopping at the homes of the state's attorney and the judge and prosecutor demanding his release from prison. In the Hamden neighborhood, known in the city for its history of racial violence and Klan activity, 500 mostly white neighbors gathered to condemn racism and commit themselves to justice. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, the organization Out Front Kalamazoo put their Pride Month events on hold to stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement by holding a Black Lives Matter Pride rally and march on Saturday, and another protest was held Sunday. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, on Sunday, after more city council deliberation, a rally organized by Reclaim the Block and Black Visions was held in Powderhorn Park. Activist speakers talked about the connection between anti-blackness and indigenous struggles, queer and trans liberation, and police brutality, and the notion of solidarity. The rally also included several council representatives officially declaring that the majority of members had committed to disbanding the MPD. The rally concluded with organizers asking attendees to talk to their neighbors about what they will do to help create a vibrant world without police. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, 300-plus people marched for a celebration of Black culture put together by local Black Lives Matter activists. Over 500 gathered later to sign a petition to free Clifton White, a local activist who was arrested last weekend for a parole violation after helping organize protests. In New York City, New York, for the 9th consecutive day, thousands took the streets Sunday in all five boroughs, with numerous decentralized marches, rallies, meditations, and vigils taking place. Activists are reporting an increase in anti-Black sentiment in Staten Island, in contrast with the overwhelming support seen from residents in the rest of the city. In parts of the city, restaurants are engaging in mutual aid, offering free food and drink to protesters or anyone who is Black. In Albany, New York, 11,000 people marched Sunday in the area's largest protest yet. There was some confrontation with small groups of white supremacists around the city. Marches continued and then converged at the police station, where protesters held ground for another 6 hours before dispersing on their own terms. They called for justice in the shooting of Demeek McDonald and the murder of Edson Thevenin by Troy police. The only arrests were of armed counter-protesters. In Columbus, Ohio, marking the 11th consecutive day of protests, hundreds gathered for a prayer at City Hall, then marched and chanted through the streets. In Cincinnati, Ohio, in the biggest turnout yet, a march of over 5,000 people marked the 10th day of consecutive protests. In Portland, Oregon, three gatherings marked the 11th night of protests that spoke out about disbanding the police, blocked traffic, and met police violence in the night. Heavily armed riot police declared the downtown gathering a civil disturbance and attacked the crowd with stun grenades, impact munitions, and batons. For the second night in a row, the police livestream abruptly ended before they attacked the crowd. There were 20 arrests. There is a growing petition for the mayor and police commissioner's resignation, and Don't Shoot Portland has brought a class action lawsuit against the city for indiscriminate use of tear gas. In Eugene, Oregon, over 1,000 protesters gathered downtown for speeches by local Black Lives Matter activists, followed by a march in the downtown area. A group of protesters left the main group and went to the police station, where they removed pro-police flyers from boarded-up windows and were replaced with anti-racism messages. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the 9th consecutive day of protests included a silent skateboard progression attended by thousands and a Speak Your Peace jam with thousands attending in West Philly. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, hundreds of people took to the streets as protests continued for the 9th consecutive day. At Point State Park, hundreds staged a die-in for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and white balloons with the names of victims of police violence were tied to bridges. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette barred another Black reporter, Michael M. Santiago, from covering the protests. In Austin, Texas, on the 10th day of demonstrations, tens of thousands of people attended a rally and marched from East Austin to the Texas Capitol grounds. In Salt Lake City, Utah, hundreds again met at the Capitol for an evening march through the city. Armed police were present, but only shut down roads around the marches. In Seattle, Washington, on Sunday, a rally estimated to be over 10,000 people gathered and marched in Rainier Valley, one of the most culturally diverse neighborhoods in Seattle. Police on Capitol Hill proceeded to erect steel and concrete barriers for the daily occupation of the intersection near the East Precinct. Protesters jumped and tore down the erected barricades. Later in the evening, a man ran a car towards the crowd, but was stopped by someone throwing a dismantled steel barricade in his way. The driver then shot a Black activist in the arm, who sustained non-life-threatening injuries. Around midnight, the police and National Guard moved in and attacked the protesters. A massive street battle ensued with tear gas that had been banned by the mayor only 4 days ago. Multiple people were injured and arrested. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, approximately 7,500 people joined a rally with the Milwaukee Bucks, where the chief of police was heckled by the crowd.
Y'all see how we all here together and we heal as one, and we making something great happen, we making something positive happen, something that's heard, around the world. You got different countries coming together and fighting and standing for something. So as we march today, let's be loud, let's be heard, let us be known, so let's do it. Let's march.
The first Saturday in June is historically the day of Milwaukee's Gay Pride March. Yesterday's Pride and Black Lives Matter was the largest Pride march in recent memory, with one media outlet estimating 2,000 people in attendance. The two marches converged and continued late into the night. In Casper, Wyoming, there were two protests last week attended by hundreds. One was led by a local youth organization, and another by representatives of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Many white vigilantes with AKs were present at these events, intimidating the crowd and trying to incite violence. That's the recap for June 7th. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and power to the people.